The First World War would give rise then to an age of ideological conflict. Coming out of the First World War, Europe would now, European life, political life, economic life, social life, and in cultural life, one sees it as well, would be convulsed by an age of ideological conflict. Coming out of the First World War, one has the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, which defines a new radical initiative on the left. And, of course, in 1922 in Italy, the emergence of Benito Mussolini and the fascists, who would represent, well, they didn't think of themselves as being a new right-wing movement, but an alternative to both liberal capitalism and Marxist socialism. But nonetheless, what we think of as the interwar years, the period from 1918 to 1939, is really an age of ideological conflict. Conflict between an emerging fascist, and ultimately with Hitler, a national socialist, Europe on the one hand, and a socialist slash communist on the other, with the poor liberal democracies, France, Great Britain, and the United States, I would toss into the mix, wandering in between, desperately trying to find some way through this maze of ideological conflict and political polarization. And then, of course, comes the Second World War. As I just said, I think in many ways the second great conflict of the 20th century is ultimately going to be seen as a direct outgrowth of the first, in fact, part of the same, but with a new dimension. And the new dimension that it brings is this ideological conflict. It is, and if at the end of 1918 one couldn't really remember what the First World War had actually been fought over, what is the great issue of the First World War? What philosophical point was at stake? What great issue, what great principle was at stake? By 1919, people had a very difficult time determining exactly what all of the carnage had been about. No one would have this problem at the conclusion of the Second World War. This was an ideological war par excellence. This was a conflict between an aggressive ideological regime in the form of Hitler's Third Reich and forces. It's very interesting. Forces from the sort of liberal capitalist West and the Soviet Union bound together fighting Nazi Germany. It's interesting because both Marxist socialism and liberal capitalism both have their origins philosophically in the Enlightenment. Both are rational, both are materialist, both believe in progress, all things which the National Socialists condemned. Then finally, we will address post-war Europe. It was fashionable for many years after the Second World War to talk about the decline of Europe, the eclipse of Europe, that Europe had, which had gone from the pinnacle of its influence in 1914, Europe had now been transformed into a wasteland. Its economies destroyed, its cities ravaged, its population devastated. Over 35 million Europeans died during the Second World War. It was a conflict of unparalleled proportions. And in the aftermath of that war, there was a sense that, well, the old continent was in some ways finished. The power had moved to the periphery, the Soviet Union in the East with a problematic relationship to Europe, and of course the barbarians off across the Atlantic, the Americans, on the other hand. And yet, as we approach the end of the 20th century, Europe is far from finished. Europe has emerged in quite spectacular fashion from a very difficult period of post-war reconstruction, of ideological conflict, the Cold War, which I tend to think of as a kind of hiccup or a hangover from the Second World War, has finally passed. And Europe in the 1990s has set its course on some form of economic and possibly even political union. Europe is once again a major center of intellectual life, economic life, and political influence. So whither Europe? Where is it going? To understand these complex processes of change is particularly important now as Europe, and indeed the world, stand on the cusp of a new era. The epoch of the Second World War is at last over. It ended, I would say, in 1990, when the final peace treaties with the Germans were signed, German unification was established, the Soviet Union would collapse within a year, and suddenly, the political landscape, as frightening as it had been since the Second World War, the political landscape of this great post-war era had changed, and changed dramatically. The Cold War had passed, and all the ideological and geopolitical presuppositions that have dominated our thinking for much of the 19th and 20th century are now in the process of transformation, of change. Understanding where Europe is heading requires understanding where it has come from, and that will be our task over the next few lectures. Thank you.